This morning we brought some thoughts about things the devil would like to bring, that questions the devil would like to bring that try to cause confusion. That's one of his best tactics, is to confuse people. He doesn't care what he gets us on. Rather, it's outright sin, or just getting us discouraged, or getting us to back off, getting us to get lukewarm, or just getting us confused. He don't care. As long as he can get us to slack off and eventually give up. And as I've been pastoring now for, I guess it's been, I think, almost 5 years. There have been a lot of questions that have come up that people have asked. And some of them have been asked by people that have been raised in the church, or ones that you would think would know the answers. And so I started bringing messages to answer questions that were asked. And this morning we brought some of those answers, tried to answer some of those questions by the Lord's help. And this evening we had one of those questions that we wanted to look at. One day I was talking to someone and they were struggling spiritually. And they gave me this scripture. And I had never really thought about this scripture. I just knew that the way they used it couldn't possibly be the way that it was meant. And I didn't know what to say exactly. I just knew that, well, I can't be right. That certainly couldn't be what's meant by that scripture. I was talking to him about how God loved him, how we loved him, and we wanted to see him serving the Lord. And they said, well, the Bible says that I just need to work out my own salvation. That's what I'm doing. I said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what that means. Wait a minute. But I couldn't really pick out exactly what that meant. So what did that make me do? That made me go home and get out my Bible. And got me studying. I said, wait, I didn't have a very good answer. I was disturbed that I didn't have a good answer. I was disturbed that I didn't have a good answer. I felt really upset about that. And I thought, you know, I should have had a better answer. Other than, well, that's not what that means. That didn't help the situation at all, just to say, well, that's not what it means. I needed to have an answer, and I felt really bad about that. And the devil doesn't really care what he uses, and I'd like to try my very best to try to clear up some of these questions. And if we go over to Philippians, I found that scripture, and I'd like to read that scripture. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. We're going to read that scripture for you. Philippians 2, verse number 12. Philippians 2, verse number 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So the question was, what does work out your own salvation mean? What's that mean? Well, first of all, we must take the scripture in context. You can't just pull out five words from our verse and ignore the rest of the verse and just say, work out your own salvation. You can't just take just a few words and say, well, here you go, and that just means figure it out yourself and whatever works for you works. That's not what it means. Not what it means at all. You got to look at the rest of the verse. You got to look at the surrounding verses. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Philippian church, and as the first part of this verse says, he was commending them for their obedience. He was telling them, he was challenging them, that he was commending them for their obedience while he was there. He said, you know, while I was there, you've always obeyed. That's a good thing. I appreciate that. While I was in your presence, you've always obeyed. Thank you. I appreciate that. And every pastor appreciates that. I appreciate the fact that you've been obedient while I was there. And you know what? Not only in my presence, which I appreciate, but much more in my absence. That is wonderful. Even when I was gone, you were even better. Wow, what a good testimony, right? Much more, he said, in my absence. That's pretty awesome. That's a great, great testimony. The congregation was even better while the pastor was away. That's a wonderful thing, right? He was happy about that, and every pastor would be, right? Much more, as I went on in my missionary work, I could count on the fact that you were still obedient, still faithful. So he was commending them for that. He was happy about that. So he was talking to ones who were completely obedient to the message that he had been preaching. He said, you always obeyed. That's the kind of testimony that a Church of God congregation should have. But what happens is people focus on the next five words and disregard the rest. They look at the words, work out your own salvation. And they come up with their own interpretation. But we must remember that the Word of God will always line up with itself. Always. It will not contradict itself. As we said this morning, if there's a contradiction somewhere, it's not in God's word. It's because we're misunderstanding something. We're missing something. It's on us. There's not a contradiction in God's word. When we follow God's word, it will always make you more spiritual, more Christ-like. It's never going to pull you further away from Christ. It's always going to bring you closer. If you see something in here that you feel like, well, whoa, hey, I can slack off a little bit, you're misunderstanding something. Right. You're reading something wrong. You're getting a wrong interpretation. You're missing something. If you find something that makes you feel like, okay, now I can back up a little bit. If you catch something like that, you're misinterpreting. You're missing something. Because it's always going to bring you closer to God. Never backing off. Never backing off. I remember when we moved here to Newark. My dad was our pastor when I was younger. And we moved to Newark. And I came to him with a question. And I said, Dad, Brother Decker preaches something just a little different than you do. He said, yeah, he does. He preaches it a little tighter than I do. He said, we're going to go tighter because tighter's better. Simple as that. No argument there. Tighter's better. Closer to God. He didn't argue. He surely didn't stand against the pastor. He didn't give one even slightest fraction of an inch to the devil where he could have let one of us kids think that the pastor was wrong. Not even a hint. I came to him. I said, Dad, Brother Deck preaches it just a little different than you do. He said, yep, he does. He's a little tighter than we are, and we're going to tighten right up. Simple as that. That's what it should be. That's what it should be. It'll never hurt to be a little tighter. It'll never hurt to be a little bit tighter. And that taught me a good lesson. That taught me a real good lesson. It'll always be better to be straighter and tighter. Straighter and tighter. And that taught me a lot. I really appreciate that. When we follow God's word, it'll always make us more spiritual, bring us closer to Christ. When we come up with our own interpretation, it just might damn our soul. It just might. Amen. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Let's look there. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Second Peter 3, verse number 16 says, as also in his epistle speaking in them these things which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. If we just try to understand the scriptures and to make up something our own understanding, we could do it to our own destruction. We better get understanding from God and not just try to come up with our own understanding. If we don't have understanding on the scripture, guess what? It's not the end of the world. If we don't understand it, ask God for understanding. Not understanding isn't the worst thing. Ask. Ask. Understanding brings light and responsibility, and it will always make you more like Christ. Always. So what does this verse mean? What's this verse mean? Let's go back over to Philippians. Philippians 2 and 12. Philippians 2 and 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you look at this scripture in another translations, sometimes comparison sometimes will shed a little more light on the meaning. Sometimes. Not always. Sometimes. When I study, I have kind of a setup in my office. I have lots of computer monitors set up, several, with lots of Bibles and lots of dictionaries and concordances and lots of things. Just, it looks like it just has a lot of stuff. Anyway, it looks like you're on an airplane or something. Anyway, I just have a lot of things pulled up, so it just makes it easy for me to study. And I had the Amplified Bible pulled up, and the Living Bible pulled up, the Children's Bible pulled up. I've got all these different Bibles pulled up, and I can look at a lot of things at the same time, and it kind of gives me the ability to just see what different scriptures might look like different ways. And as I was looking at the scripture in the Amplified Bible, when it said work out your own salvation, it says work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, with self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Wow, that was really good. I looked it up in the Living Bible. It says, be even more careful to do good things that result from being saved, obeying God with deep reverence, shrinking back from those things that might displease him. Right. I thought that was pretty good. The Children's Bible said, keep on working to complete your salvation and do it with fear and trembling. Well, those are all pretty good, I thought. So from what we've read, does it sound at all like the scriptures could possibly mean work out your own salvation however you see fit so that it pleases you whatever way you like? I don't think so. I don't think so, but that's what the devil would like to take that scripture and make it sound like. The devil would like you to take that scripture and say, well, you know, hey, just work it out the way you see fit.
That's right.
Because when you're struggling,
right.
The devil, like I said this morning, the devil would bring a scripture and he'll bring that scripture to you and say, well, the Bible says just work it out. Just work it out the best you can. Do the best you can. And that's what false religion says too. False religion says, well, just do the best you can. Work it out the best that you can, and, you know, God understands. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. Not at all. Sadly, that's how this verse is interpreted some places, and that's terribly, terribly harmful to souls. With this thinking, you'd be free to live any way you choose, but that is definitely not God's plan. Definitely not. When this verse speaks of work out, it's not the same type of work out that we in our current English language would use as like figure out or come up with the best option, right? When I'm working on a project, I'm saying, I gotta work this out. This just isn't coming together. I gotta work this problem out. That's not the same type of work out that the scripture's talking about here. It's not saying, do what works best for you. That's not at all what it means. We got to remember the Bible was written many years ago, and the words and the phrases mean quite different things back then. That's why context is so important. What was the thought of the author? What was he trying to convey in his thoughts? If you look at the verse in the Amplified, it says, when it says work out, it says cultivate. Carry out to the goal, fully complete your own salvation. This certainly does not sound like something that can be done without effort.
Right.
It's going to take some effort. This is a work. This is a work. And this work starts within.
Right.
Within our heart. So you start with you. What Christ has done in you.
Right?
Right? Within. And when we obey inwardly, you will start to cultivate those things that are in you. Since Christ is now in you, we start cultivating those things that are in us. It'll cause us to discipline our thoughts, right?
Right.
Well, discipline, that's where the devil works. 99% of everything we deal with is right here in the mind, right? We're gonna cultivate good thoughts. We're gonna discipline our mind. Let Christ control our mind. Be in subjection to Christ and his authority. You'll let him rule your temper. Well, that's just my disposition. Well, you know what? Your disposition might need repositioned, right? When we get saved, things change. If there's some things that cause you to have a bad temper, you might need to give up some of those things. Right? If you know something is going to cause you to lose your temper, you might need to give it up. Right? If every time you go golfing, you lose your temper, you might need to quit going golfing. Is there anything wrong with golfing? No. But if it causes you to lose your temper, there might be something wrong with golfing for you. Right? If every time you make apple pies, it causes you to lose your temper, maybe you shouldn't make apple pies. Whatever it is that's causing you problems, you might need to quit. Right? Very simple. Very simple. You know, God is an easy, simple God. He makes things so simple. So simple. Let him rule your temper. Keep it in check. You will strive to keep your heart in order at all times. right? It's not always easy, right? It's hard sometimes. You're going to form habits, good habits. A lot of times we think about habits, and all we think about is bad habits, right? There's good habits. My dad taught us some good habits. I always thought it was strange that he had some habits that he would do. He always got up in the morning. First thing he did was got on his knees and prayed. If I did that first thing, I'd fall sound asleep. But that's what he did every day. Rolled out of bed, right to his knees to pray. That's a good habit. That's a good habit, right? Good habits. And then what else do we do? We need to make it a daily duty to read our Bible, to pray, to meditate. Make it regular. Don't forget, make it regular. Make it habitual. Get rid of thoughts that get your mind wandering. Right? That happens to every one of us. Every one of us. Don't, you can't say it don't. It does. We're busy people. We get down to pray. And before you know it, your mind is thinking about the things you got to do for the day. Right? It happens to all of us. Shut those things out. Good idea is to turn your phone off. Right? How many people wake up in the morning and the first thing they grab is their cell phone? Almost everybody. Right? Did someone send me a message while I was sleeping? What's the weather? Anything special going on? Whatever the situation is. Almost everybody does. A lot of people use their phone as their alarm clock. We don't have to grab our phone first thing. Don't have to. Don't have to. Let's get rid of distractions if we can. Make it a purpose. Make it your purpose to spend time with God alone every day. Every day. Find those times in your day when you're alone with God. Where in your day can you find that alone time? A lot of times people say, well, I don't have any alone time. You have some time alone with God. You have some time. Some time in your day you're alone. Sometime. Do you take a shower? You can pray in the shower. You're alone. That might be your only time. Pray in the shower. That might be it. But guess what? That's a start. That's a start. If that's the only time you get, do it then. Do it then. Guess what? God will honor that. God will honor that. And he'll say, you know what? They're so busy, but they're taking time to honor me by praying in the only seconds they have to themselves. They're praying. And God will honor that. God will see, you know what? They don't have much time. They are so busy. They're chasing 10 kids or however many you got. They don't even have a chance to breathe. They eat standing up. They're worn out. And the only time they got was the time that they were just taking a quick shower, and they took that time to mention their children in prayer and to pray and thank me. God will honor that. And he will bless you for that. We know it's difficult. We know we all have busy lives. And the devil would like to slide in there and wreck our lives if he can. And if we don't spend time in prayer, he'll do it. Driving down the road is one of the number one times I spend time in prayer. Driving. I drive a lot. So prayer is, that's the best time for me to pray. Self-examination. When you're praying, ask God to examine you. God, do you see anything where I need to move up? You see any places I need to change? Search me. Search me, God. And we can pray and use similar words without it being a complete form. That's okay. That's okay. But we need to just remember that we need to make sure we do it. And then what do? Work out. Work out what's in. God's done a work in us. Now let's work it out, right? I think every Christian should have a definite form of work that we do for God. We should all have something that we do for God. We should all have something. There should be something specific you can say, I do this for God. There should be something. Is there something that you can say, I do this for God? Maybe it's helping someone that's in need, visiting sick. Maybe it's making food for someone that needs food prepared for them. Maybe it's sending out cards of encouragement. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's, I don't know, whatever. Whatever the situation may be, there's lots and lots of things to do, especially here. This big congregation. All kinds of things you can do. Picking up trash. Going around picking up trash on the grounds. There's all kinds of things that can be done. I got a phone call this afternoon. It kind of shocked me. Someone that I've been praying for, that I've been carrying a burden for, called me to encourage me. My phone rang, it was Brother Fred. Called me to encourage me. Someone that's weak as a kitten, still doing his job. An encourager. What? How amazing is that? He still had a burden. That's amazing. Oh man, about made me cry. That was just amazing. You can still work out your salvation even when you're sick. It just blew me away. I was sitting here studying for this message. I about started crying. I was like, wow, how amazing is that? Right? This is what we're talking about, working out our salvation. He's working out what God worked in him. How amazing, right? Doing these things, when we're doing these things for God, we're working out the salvation that we've received. We're working out to others what we have within. The last part of that verse says, with fear and trembling. Do we have a respectful fear of God? We want to live in such a way that we don't want to displease or disappoint our Heavenly Father. When we're working out our salvation, we want to please our Father. We want to make Him happy. We don't want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. We want to show up for the world what God has done for us. We want to work out what God has done for us. We want to do it in the fear of God with reverence. This is what God has done for me. I was telling our congregation on Wednesday night, one thing that people cannot argue with is your testimony. They cannot argue with that. I've had people try to argue scriptures with me. Just as recent as, I think, last week, week before last, I had a patient trying to argue scriptures with me. He's telling me, well, I think we all got to go to Jerusalem. I'm like, no, we don't. And he started trying to give me all these scriptures. I said, and I almost got trapped into it. I said, well, I'm not going to argue with you. What I can do is I can tell you what Jesus did for me. I could give him my scripture, my personal testimony. You can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that. You can give your personal testimony and nobody can argue with that. You can tell him what Jesus did for you and no one can touch that. You can show what Jesus did in your life, and you can work that out, right? That's what we're talking about, working out your salvation. You can spread the gospel through what Jesus has done for you, right? And that'll be a greater witness than anything that you know scripturally, right? It will. It sure will. So what we want to do is we want to do it with reverence. We don't want to be someone that's obnoxious. That turns people off, right? This scripture says with fear and trembling and reverence. We don't need to be obnoxious, right? You ever meet someone that tries to sell you something and they're so obnoxious that you're like, would you please leave? Right? You ever seen some of those salesmen that they follow you into your house and you're like, excuse me? You ever seen that? And you're like, please, go away, right? Those are really obnoxious salesmen that are just overbearing, right? We can be overbearing too. We don't want to do that. That turns people off, right? We want to, the Bible says that we're supposed to be a drawing force, be the salt that makes men thirsty. We want to do this with fear and trembling, with reverence. So when we read this verse, we want to make sure that we're reading it in context. We got to understand that no verse will ever give us permission to ever live a lesser godly life. Lesser godly. We always want to live closer to God. No scripture will ever leave things up to us just to do however we want to do things. However we feel, no scripture is ever going to do that. And if we feel that that's what the scripture is doing, then we're missing the point. When the scripture speaks of working out, we can only work out what God has worked in. So if we've been saved, what do we want to do? Reach out and try to save others, bring others in so they can be saved. If we feel the love of Christ in our heart, what do we want to do? Reach out and share that love with others. If God's made us happy, make others happy, right? That's what we want to do. So what's been worked in us? Work it out. Share it with others. That's what that scripture means. Hopefully that helped share some understanding on that scripture. Because the devil will like to take these scriptures and turn them into a license for sin. That's what he'd like to do. That's not what these scriptures mean, right? So when the devil brings something to you, you got to remember, don't go there. God's word is never going to confuse us. If it brings confusion, it's not the Lord. If it makes things seem, that's not quite right, remember, you just mark it down. That's not the Lord. It's the devil doing that.